In this session, I'm going to give an overview of the International Theosophical Order of Service in terms of our values and our work and how they fit together. I'm going to use this session also as an opportunity to introduce you to our international website and to take you through it and some of the wonderful resources that we're gradually building up onto it. I've had a conversation with a couple of people who've not really had a chance yet to explore our website, so hopefully this will be very useful to you. Now, to start off, as you all know, with our history, we were founded by Annie Besant in February 1908 in response to members in the Theosophical Society who wanted to actively promote the first object of our society, to form a nucleus for the universal brotherhood of humanity. And I think that has been the reason why in all of our work we've really been focusing on that sense of brotherhood, that development of of that view of the linkages that we've got between all of us on our planet, and not just humanity, but all life on our planet. And that influences the sort of work that we choose to do in each one of our groups. Interestingly, as I think Diana mentioned, we were originally called the Theosophical Society Order of Service. So the society was in there. And it was only later that the society was dropped and we became the Theosophical Order of Service. And I think when we're talking to our Theosophical Society brothers and sisters who are not active in the TOS, it's sometimes useful just to remind them of those early roots that we had. So our focus is definitely on service through a sense of that oneness for all life. Now, if you go to our website, and I'll see how beautifully this happens. James has been brilliant in helping set this up and making it work easily for me, to juggle between the PowerPoint and the website. This is our international website. And on it, you'll find a number of resources that are very useful to you. Just to look at the architecture for a start, on the front page, we've got a little bit about us. You might notice some photographs of your work in our revolving picture show. As you scroll down the page, you'll see a little bit more about the work that we actually are doing. So down here. So this is what you see first to get you interested in what we are, who we are, and then a little bit about us as the TOS. Naturally, our main feature has been our conference, encouraging people to come along to it. Each time we update, at either a 2 or 3 month, every 2 or 3 months, we put up a featured project so that you get information about one of the projects that we're doing. There's also a featured article and then some latest news. And over on this side, you'll see that we've got a directory of all of the TOS groups in the world. And if you go to any one of those, and I'll just go to Brazil, I think, as a good example, it takes you directly to their website. If they don't have a website, it still goes to them and gives you contact details. But if you're wanting to have a look at what is happening in another country, it's a great way of seeing what that country itself is promoting. So that's a really useful way of contacting other people, so that you can go through and see what things that they're particularly featuring. Now, if we go back to the main menu, about the TOS has got a number of things that will help you in getting historical information about the TOS. Who we are tells us immediately about the history and the purpose of the TOS. But if we go to the archives, we're beginning to put on some interesting archival information. Particularly things like this one, which was an article that we ran in one of the electronic newsletters, where the TOS salutes its founder. And this a particular article was drawn from the archives, and so you'll find lovely archival information from the days in which Annie Besant, Dr. Annie Besant, was working in her social service work. And as a strong member of the Fabian Society, as you would, which was one of the social change societies in the UK at that time. You'll also find, if you go into resources and you go down, and I'll go through this in greater detail, but if you go down to running groups, you'll find that we've also got posters. And one of the sets of posters is the one that's up on the wall there, which Vic had printed for us. And we've also got those available for some of you who might want to take them back to your countries. So it's a set of two posters about Annie Besant and her work. And you can actually download that as a PDF file from our website.
And the other two that are there, too.
Yes, and the other two that are there, yes, you'll find on there. So you've, the website, as I said, will give you some extra information if you're wanting it to inform people about the work, the historical work of our organisation. Now, as I said at the end of that previous slide, our focus is on serving life in a very altruistic way. And this quotation, we thought, really sums up the set of values that we have in our work, that underpins our work. The only law of living is the law that helps others. To the extent that you forget yourself, you are free to help the world. That notion of forgetting yourself is underpinned by the inner spiritual work that we do. And so we're increasingly trying to build up on our website resources that you might be able to use as inspiration for discussions within your particular TOS groups about that inner work. You'll find it in the section of our website under inspiration for a start. So if you went to inspiration, you'll find some lovely quotes with pictures, some uplifting stories, and we're beginning to put on some videos as we find good YouTube links. So to our inspiration page. But you'll find some lovely little quotes that you can use in your publications, as well as quotations which are just a wonderful catalyst for discussion in your groups. Now, another place that you will find resources that you can use, if you go to resources and go down to inspirational people, down here, or to inner transformation. Under inspirational people, you'll find articles about members of the Theosophical Order of Service who have led inspiring lives and have done some inspiring things within their country. Now, we at the present moment have just got a couple of articles on there about people from the past, but we're gradually building that section. And in inner transformation, we are wanting to add more material on here, but at the present moment, Dorothy's been our major contributor to this. Anyone else who has material that you feel would be useful, please send it in to Diana and me, because we would love to have it and to edit it and to be able to put it up. But so far we've got the conversation that Dorothy wrote as a mock conversation between an interviewer and Annie Besant about her views on the stages of that we go through as we try to embed a sense of altruism into our service work and that sense of sacrifice. This next article is a really useful resource. Dorothy put a lot of time in our centenary year into putting together going through a lot of Annie Besant's books and putting together extracts from her books that describe her view of sacrificial service. And again, you'll find wonderful quotations, great things that you can use as catalysts for discussion.
And you can see the other articles that are on there as well. So that's our sense of values that we share. Now, the purpose of the TOS is described in our guidelines for the operation of groups that we've now had approved by RADA. And it states this, which is where what we came to an agreement about in our first plan of action conference that we had. So we describe it as the TOS offering a framework in which individuals can work along self-selected lines of service for the uplifting of humanity and the protection of the planet. It's for the practical application of theosophical principles to issues of contemporary concern. So we should be looking at really what is happening in our world. And as Vic said, showing people how you can actually apply the principles of theosophy. And it's also, we are also an organisation in which social action as spiritual practice is honoured and nurtured. So that is as much an important part of our work as social action that moves in, that is part of our spiritual practice, is where we are trying to focus ourselves. The TOS today, as you already know, has branches in 30 countries. And if you go to our website, as I showed you, you can see those 30 countries. Our work's carried out in a whole range of areas. Now, these are just a few. In the States, I know there is also a very, very strong focus on the creative area of the arts, and that's so in other countries as well. So that's not a restrictive collection. It's just identifying a few of the areas in which we work. And I think, personally, that one of the strengths of the TOS is that each group has the capacity to look at what they feel passionate about and to be able to build their programs around those particular focuses, because that is actually what motivates people to be involved, is that sense of urgency and passion about wanting to make a difference with things. Now, the TOS and the UN can, in fact, work to complement each other's work. And I think that this is one of the things that we might like to look at when we're looking for identifying NGOs that we might, in fact, have discussions with. The United Nations, as you'll see up there, was built on the very similar spiritual principles and universal values to the ones that underpin the Theosophical Order of Service. And we have established a group within the TOS that has been exploring the relationship between the TOS and the UN and how we can actually support each other's work. That group has Ananya on it. It's led by Lorraine Christensen, who's the director of the TOS in Canada, and they've been doing some sterling work. If we go to the website and you go to our resources again, you'll see down the bottom there is a menu page for United Nations. Under there, we've got the brochure that they've already developed and has been now translated into French and Spanish, and we'd love to see it translated into other languages as well. The brochure is very, very securely based in historical research, and it was of great interest to us to find just how intimately Theosophists have been involved with the foundation of the League of Nations and then the United Nations. And this brochure is documenting that work. It's a two-page brochure, so you'll see down these, on the second page, the things that we have done. So it's designed as a folding brochure. And in our newsletters, we've got a number of articles that actually talk about ways in which you can take some of the UN days and work in terms of those particular focuses. For instance, if you go and we have linked from the newsletter into our resources page relevant articles. So if, for instance, you go to peace, you can see a whole range of peace ideas that can be used when you're actually involved in the peace program on the International Week of Peace that connects with the UN. So they've got numbers of resources there. If we go back to that resource page again, you'll see other things that can fit with the focuses that you might want to have in within your group. So if you've got parents as one of your focuses, doing parental education, we're just again starting on this, and we would love people to be able to contribute. At the present moment, we've got some work about educating with respect for animals, and this interesting article that connected so well with the work that Fernando was talking about during the TS conference. This is work that came out of Duke University, which was about the very positive effects that they had found when you actually work with teaching children from as young as four-year-olds to engage in mindfulness practices, things like mindful breathing, mindful walking, mindful listening. Wonderful. So that's a lovely little article that parents might be interested in. Also, you'll find under resources, healing. And we have under healing, again, a number of things. We've put the TOS in America's healing brochure because you may be interested in your countries in contributing names to their healing network. We've also put the divine life visualization in there, which is a beautiful meditation that can be used either in groups or individually. And it complements beautifully the work of the healing ritual that you can get from Diana if you don't have access to it in your own country. Going back again to resources we've developed a range of resources around funerals that might be of interest to you. So we've got funeral ideas from a number of countries so far. We've got some from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, New York. Ed Abdul sent us the memorial service that they use in New York for TS members. And there are some poems and quotations there as a resource that you might be interested in using. We've also got Nelda Samarell's book on helping the dying. And this is available in both English and Spanish, and you can actually download it from our site. So if you want just little bits of it, rather than the entire book, you can go in and just get those particular pages off. That I was really delighted to see that given that we have now as a TOS group internationally and in the States have signed up to the Charter for Compassion, I was really interested to get about 4 days ago an email from the Charter of Compassion Network that was telling us that their current focus is on compassion in caring for those who are ill, caring in healthcare. And I thought, what a wonderful contribution we are already making through having made available Nelda's book on helping the dying. So those are just a few of the sort of resources that may in fact link in with your work. Now, as I don't need to labour this at all, we have had many talks already about the range of service activities that are going on around the world. Those are just a few of them, happening at an international level, happening at a local level. And in some of our countries, as you have heard, where groups have got the capacity to not only fundraise for their service work within their own country, they are also being able to fundraise to contribute to international work in other countries. Work like the Golden Links College, which is very well supported by groups from TOS groups from other countries. The Kenyan Project is another one. The Mobility Program in Assam is another one that I know intimately. When we look at these service activities around the world, we've got some great resources on the website. So I'll just go to those in a moment and show you some of those, where you can find them. Now, you'll find them if you go to projects, you'll find a range of, because at least six times a year, we put up a new featured project. So the current one that's up there is the one that Usha has been running on teaching hairstyling skills to Kenyan women so that they can become independent. But you'll find, if you go down there, you'll find a range of interesting activities. The Sea Project that was run in Chennai that goes out into the slum areas and with a group of opticians and actually checks people's sight and then provides funding through the UDI hospitals to provide either cataract operations or pairs of spectacles. Again, making an incredible difference in people's lives so that they can become independent. So if you want to know about TOS projects, you can find those through our projects. And also you'll find a lot of them in our e-newsletters because we frequently feature them in our e-newsletters. For instance, in this one in October last couple of years ago, we had an article on emergency aid for starving families in East Africa. We had an update on what the TOS in Hungary was doing. In news around the world, we had news of other projects. We had information about tree planting in Kenya. And as you can see, social welfare. So it focuses on a lot of things that the TOS is doing. And if you scroll down through our newsletter, you can see each item in the content has then got a little summary about it so that if you've only got a short length of time, you can read it. But if you've got more time and are interested, so if, for instance, you were interested in what was happening in Brazil, you could click on that link and you will get the information about what is actually happening in Brazil at that point of time. So if you are not already subscribing and automatically receiving our newsletter, I hope that you will, in fact, consider giving me your email address and saying, please add me to the subscription list for the international newsletter. Now, just before I move on to the next part of this presentation, I want to just draw to your attention one of the things that DEEPA is doing in terms of the campaigning on that contemporary issue of violence against women in her area. One of the lovely things she's doing is that she's inviting people to sign, or rather to pledge themselves and to sign a pledge, where they are pledging themselves saying, this new year, I promise to treat every woman with the respect, honour and dignity that I would accord someone who gave me birth. We will treat all women with respect and demand the same from others. We will not practice discrimination against women at home and in the workplace, and will fight it wherever we see it. We will intervene in whatever way we can when we see a woman being harassed, whether verbally or by deeds. And the members who sign this pledge wear a badge. And Deepa has brought some with her and has offered that anyone who feels inclined to do so during our TOS conference together, to please see her and you can get a badge to wear proudly and a copy of the pledge. So thank you, Deepa, for bringing those. That's a wonderful idea.
Carolyn,
yes.
Can you mention the project we're launching in September?
I can indeed. We are very proudly working with Deepa to launch a project with her, which is one to raise funds to put up billboards that will, and we saw some examples in her talk during the TS convention, to put up large billboards that will bring to the attention of people the results of damage that's being done to not just individuals but to society as a whole by people who act with violence against women. So it's a part of the one part of the education program that they're running, but it's one which we believe that as a group of countries we could actually support with some funding and get going. Deepa, mind you, has not been sitting waiting for us to launch this. She has already started the project and has been following Vic's advice, in fact, and has been gathering support from local government to support this particular project. And she's got them on side, as we heard her report a couple of days ago. Now, just to come back to our ideal of altruistic service. I think it's beautifully quoted in this, described in this quote of Joy's, where she says, "It is that kind of caring that constitutes a constant and continual radiation of love, without judgment and without irritation. It is a willingness to give of oneself, doing whatever the moment requires." So we are acting in the moment, as our Hungarian delegates have got on the mission for their particular TOS group. It is action in the moment, in the present time. One of the great focuses of the TOS internationally is education. Because I guess we see that, as Vic was describing this morning, if we can educate our young people to grow up with that sense of their inner self and a firm conviction in their higher capacities and of their spiritual sense and a sense of their spiritual selves, that we are helping them to become people who will sustain that sense of well-being throughout their life and will also be immensely valuable in their families and in their workplaces, I might add. Blavatsky's quotation about Keith to Theosophy about education, I think, guides the work that we do within the TOS in terms of education. Where she says, and you've seen this before in one of the other presentations I was delighted to see, that children should above all be taught self-reliance, love for all men, altruism, mutual charity, and more than anything else, to think and reason for themselves. And I think that's such a valuable component of our education. So that, because if we can think and reason for ourselves from that background of mutual charity, then we can meet the new issues that arise in our contemporary society as it develops over the next 50, 100 years or so. And she goes on to say, we would devote time to the development and training of the inner senses, faculties and latent capacities. We should aim at creating free men and women, free intellectually, free morally, unprejudiced in all respects, and above all things, unselfish. to me, that echoes so much of what Krishnamurti has written about education, that we're actually hoping to develop in our young people children who are, and children and youth and adults who are in fact as unconditioned as they can be, or at least aware of the conditioning influences around them. And I think that's a strong message not only to those working in education, but also to all of us as parents and members of families. Even if we don't have children for ourselves, we are still members of families, and in our interactions with our young people, we can be encouraging these views. And so we fund a number of projects, the Golden Link College and the schools that are run in India, the schools that are run in Pakistan, follow these sorts of principles. When Diana talked about the training that's given to the teachers in the Quandil schools in Pakistan, those are the home schools that teach basic literacy and numeracy to children. Those teachers come in regularly for training programs. And Farida has talked to me about it and says that part of that training program are those principles of theosophical education, that view of the values that we're wanting children to develop as they grow. And it would be wonderful if we can get together and actually go back to developing some theosophical schools in some more of our countries. One of the other values that we have in terms of altruistic service that you'll see in our projects is epitomised in this quotation from Sri Ram. "We help others not by interfering with their lives, nor by imposing our ideas on them, but always by acting in a spirit of sympathy and self-identification with them in their troubles and joys." That's one of the hardest things to do, I think, because so often we go in expecting that people will be grateful for what we've done. That's a hard lesson to learn, not to expect that. And also we often go in with a view of what people should be doing. And our programs are geared to people doing what we think they should be doing, not what's necessarily going to meet their needs at that point in time. And so it's been wonderful to me to see so many of our projects that are actually focusing on what people themselves in communities are saying will be helpful to them. I think Usha's project in Kenya is a project like that, that started off as simply famine relief, but through Usha's discussions with the community about the impact of their water shortages and discovering that the children were spending all day going to carry water, they couldn't get to school. So we had that entire villages, the children were not receiving an education because they were spending their time getting water. That through these discussions and what was needed, it became apparent that they needed a water source. And then she worked with them. She didn't impose. She worked with them to form a cooperative that could actually manage water resources within their community if water came in. We just did the funding, but the people themselves have grown as a community in this village because they have control, in a way, of the way the water will be used, the way we provided certainly funding for fruit trees and seeds, but they said this is what they needed, and they are the planters and the carers. Usha has also been teaching them skills for earning a living so that we can happily move out of that village and know that it's been established in self-sufficiency. So that's why we've called it Sustaining a Village. Another great, and there are some lovely photos of them.
Show
Here's Usha. I've got her. There's Usha there. That's the water bore that has gone in. And Usha, in discussion with them, has now electrifying it. In fact, the electricity may, the generator may already have gone in so that they don't need the hand pump. But that, of course, has meant that they have had to come to a decision about how they're going to actually pay for the ongoing resourcing of it, right? We're not continuing that. Here are solar lights and resources, other resources and things coming in that we contributed. Here they are planting trees, one of their baby trees. When I looked at that enormous tree that we planted in Olcott yesterday, and I was thinking, that's going to be flowering and established. It's already established. How beautiful. Thank goodness, I am told that in this area of Kenya, provided you can put water on the ground, it's very fertile. So these little trees will be growing and growing, providing shade, providing food for them. And she's been teaching them also how to use cattle dung patties as fuel, rather than cutting down a lot of the vegetation for food. So it's had this wonderful ecological part as well. And here are the women dancing in such happiness at the water bore being open. This is their celebration and their thanks. And a group of the children similarly. Just a beautiful thing. Now, another example of working with people, asking them what is going to be of help, was the project that Sheila and Naomi were responsible for organising in Hungary in their very early days, where they supported a flooded village. Now, they didn't go in and say, this is what we think you're going to need and do. They went in and very sensibly talked first of all to the local council and said, what can we do to help you? What is actually going to be of benefit to you, right? That's the way we need to be working more and more, so that we are not imposing our views, but working with what the people are wanting. And they'll be available to talk more about their work for anyone who's interested tomorrow afternoon. We're also, I think, in a lot of our work, we are promoting independence. We're not simply applying band-aids. That's another important difference that I think between some of our work and the work of many other charitable organisations. We are really into educating people about issues and engaging them in conversations about what they can do. And where we're providing materials and resources, like the way we're doing in this mobility aid program in Assam, it's so that people can become independent and can actually earn a living as a result of it. And there are, I've talked to Jatin over morning tea or lunch. There are some beautiful stories that he tells about the difference it has made to people's lives when a man without legs has a hand-driven tricycle. And he's able to move around and can, for the first time in his life, really make a living and become independent. Other examples that Diana talked about, day before yesterday, our vocational training programs, many of them run throughout India and started now in Kenya, where we're teaching people skills that will enable them to become independent. And we see two of the women learning tailoring skills. All over India, I am impressed to see vocational training programs being run. Almost every group seems to be running them. In terms of our work, I think we are continually taken back to these words from At the Feet of the Master. Of all the qualifications, love is the most important. In daily life, this means two things. First, that you shall be careful to do no harm to any living thing. And second, that you shall always be watching for an opportunity to help. And it reminds me of a lovely statement I read in one of Annie Besant's books where she said, and I think it was one of her notes of one of her talks, where she said, you do not have to go out and look for ways to help. Those ways to help will arrive on your doorstep. Absolutely. And I think all of us can remember and think of opportunities when that's actually happened. So in conclusion, just to look at the aim of the TOS in terms of our altruistic service, there are two parts to it. There's our inner spiritual work, which is indeed the foundation. And I read, in terms of that, and the importance of that, I'm taken back to a beautiful commentary that I actually picked up on the internet of the words of one of the monks, one of the Buddhist monks working in the Dalai Lama's work. And he was asked about burnout, and he was asked by an aid worker, we put so much energy into what we're doing to help people that we just eventually get overloaded and we burn out. And this very wise monk's reply was, if we spend our time doing the things that we think should be done, then we will burn out because we will often overexert ourselves. But where our actions are coming from an inner, so it's not a mental, we should be doing this, where our actions actually come from our inner sense where you cannot help but help, basically, as Sri Ram was saying. This inner response, we see some suffering and we simply have to act. It's a natural outflowing. We do not burn out if it's a natural outflowing. So that's why that inner spiritual work is so important, because it, in fact, is the groundwork. It's, as Vic referred to, that foundation on which our house is built. It, in many ways, is that foundation. And if we have it there, we will be able to have immense energy without burning out. So that inner spiritual work leads to the outer action. And it's service in many ways. It's service in our thoughts, in our deeds, and our words. And it has that special quality. It's service with no intention of benefit to oneself. And it's service with no intention of one's own agenda. And this lovely quote to finish. As you can see, I am very enamoured by Sri Ram. I find him very inspiring for our work. There can be no greater purpose in life than to serve. Service to the one in many forms. It must not be so-called limited service, but real service, which is direct and sincere, in which the consciousness of self is forgotten. Namaste.